My name's Sean Collier, here with Aaron Kleiber.
Bingo.
Same place we were last night. Sorry.
God, you're breaking the fourth wall,
Sean. Peeling the curtain back. We're going to Hollywood, where boxing is still a sport.
Absolutely.
And I joke about boxing movies a lot. I think we just watched the best one in I don't know how long.
A long time.
Since Million Dollar Baby, definitely.
I think so. Hopefully that wets your whistle.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Creed. I walked in not expecting much.
Me neither.
And we were pretty well blown away. Happy Thanksgiving from You Can't Handle the Truth.
And now, it's You Can't Handle the Truth. Honest reviews of the newest movies. Part of the Epicast Network. Hear more great podcasts at epicast.tv.
It is You Can't Handle the Truth for Thanksgiving Eve. It's Wednesday, November 25th, 2015. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Franksgiving.
Why is it Franksgiving?
Because some people have hot dogs for Thanksgiving.
Oh, is that a thing?
Nope.
Okay.
Just made that holiday up. Happy Franksgiving.
I thought it was a thing like getting Chinese food on Christmas.
No, my family, we just eat hot dogs and watch Frankenstein movies.
Franksgiving.
What the hell am I talking about?
I don't know.
Let's talk about Creed.
Wow.
Not Creed Bratton.
No.
From The Office. We're talking about Apollo Creed, Apollo Creed's son,
Adonis Creed.
Adonis, which, wow, what a name.
Yeah. They know how to name people in these movies.
Played by one of my favorite actors. I really like him.
Dude,
Michael B. Jordan.
He's great.
I've loved him since The Wire. You may have known him from season one of The Wire. He was like 13 years old.
Fruitvale Station.
Yeah.
That Fantastic Four movie you didn't watch?
A great film I have not watched yet.
Oh, Fruitvale Station is great. And Creed is not only starring Michael B. Jordan, but it's the writer and director of Fruitvale Station.
Which he was in.
Ryan Coogler. Think about this. Fruitvale Station is a tough-as-nails drama about police brutality.
It's a biographical film, isn't
yes.
it? Yeah.
And let's just say Stallone saw that and thought, this guy can do
this is the guy.
A Rocky movie.
This is the guy.
And
yeah.
you're left with a shockingly serious and heartfelt movie.
Yeah, I don't want to get too crazy right off the bat, but this was good.
This is one where, you know, as Aaron said, you know, we'll make little comments to one another during the screening. Aaron much more than me. Yeah. But on this one, it was mostly us kind of turning to one another and going, no, this is really good.
Probably about 10 times.
Yeah.
Like after each scene, we'd like, this is good.
Because you told me a couple weeks ago you were not pumped about this at all.
No. I mean, it's another kind of reboot.
Right.
It's Rocky, what, 7 at this
yeah.
point?
And I thought, you know, maybe I like the idea of not I liked that it wasn't Rocky fighting again like it was 9 years ago.
Sure, I like it changing up a little bit.
I like handing it off with yeah. Rocky in the Burgess Meredith role. As you pointed out, Rocky is the same age that Burgess Meredith yeah. was in Rocky.
Yeah, 69 years old.
Yeah.
Can you believe Sly Stallone is 69?
Yeah.
And then he's in Expendables looking like a badass
yeah.
dude.
But no, I wasn't pumped. And I looked up beforehand and found out that it was 2 hours and 13 minutes long.
Yeah, ooh boy.
And I thought, oh man, I'm not. I've been watching a lot of movies, okay? This is my
yeah.
this is my fourth screening since Monday night, and I got another one tomorrow morning. And and so I was like, well, all right, let's get through it. And I mean, it really, we can break it down a little bit later, but it starts with the writing.
Dude, really well written.
Yeah.
Like, not only the pace of the story, where the story goes, and I will say, you know, the ups and downs of the story, the plot line,
mm-hmm.
is screenwriting 101.
But we don't see that often
but
anymore.
No.
Simple
no,
stories.
You're right.
And, yeah.
You're right. Absolutely. And And dude, keep it simple, stupid, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so well written, and the scenes were short, and every scene had something to do with the movie.
Yeah.
It moved the plot along.
No, there's no wasted time.
And the dialogue is really good.
I said to the outside, this is pretty much all short, to-the-point scenes.
Yep, they don't play around.
It doesn't, you know, I think it actually got long on the fighting. Because the fights, there were a lot of real-time fight sequences.
They were.
The first round of the ultimate fight, you see the whole round.
Yeah, you watch the entire round.
And there's a lot of that, so I'm sure that 30-plus minutes of the movie is in the ring, and that's why it's a little bit longer.
Sure.
But every scene is short and to the point. The only time they slow down is when somebody really has something to say.
Right.
And those all land.
Yeah.
Stallone especially.
Yeah, he... I mean, let's talk about... You know, Sly right off the bat.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like to me, I probably said to you in the theater and then afterwards, I felt like he didn't lose a beat.
No, he folds back into the character.
He was Rocky and mm-hmm. he was fun and lovable and wise.
Yeah.
You know, there are things added to his character where he's older and wiser, for sure.
Yeah.
And man, he killed it. And he has one or two emotional scenes that, like, let me throw this out there. I teared up about three times in this movie.
Yeah,
I'm a baby girl sometimes.
At a couple of those, when Rocky is fighting with his whole life.
Yeah,
but not to give anything away, Michael B. Jordan has two moments before the last fight and after the last fight.
Yeah.
Where he says something that his character has not said before.
Yeah.
And I was knocked backwards.
Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking of a scene with Sylvester Stallone in a locker room.
Yeah.
Which was great acting.
Yeah.
Really great acting.
I feel like Michael B. Jordan brought Stallone up a little bit.
He did.
I feel like Stallone knew this kid is really bringing it.
Yeah.
And got serious.
Yeah, it was actually a neat thing to see Sylvester Stallone be a good actor.
Yeah.
He really is a good actor.
Oh, he certainly is. I mean, you know, he's you know, he was a parody of himself.
Sure.
In the 90s.
Sure.
And even Expendables a little bit.
Sure.
But he's a really good, thoughtful actor.
Yeah. And granted too, this is the closest probably to him, to mm-hmm. his heart, you know, Rocky.
Yeah.
So it shouldn't be too hard.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, he brought it, and he was really good.
And I guess I guess most of my surprise is thinking about Rocky Balboa, the 2006 movie.
Right.
Where it was still
Meh.
Him fighting.
Yeah. I call it the George Foreman Rocky.
Yeah, and it's just a kind of fun throwaway movie. It's like the Jurassic World Rocky, you know.
Right.
Let's hit all the notes. Let's, you know, have a good time.
And I think from seeing that, it definitely didn't excite me about this one.
Right.
Because I'm like, oh, they're making another Rocky movie.
Right.
This is not that.
No.
It's a whole. It's so odd. They did a really good job at rebooting this.
They
really did.
In that, this is what I taught. I can't remember if we did an episode or not, or if I just hated it with every fiber of my being. But the Vacation reboot, which was terrible. Did you ever see that?
I did see that.
Holy shit, was that
bad.
Oh,
remember the last podcast I was talking about eating in the theater in Wichita?
Oh, it was Vacation?
It was Vacation.
Okay.
It was. That was not good.
And that's the one where, you completely didn't get why the original worked.
Nope.
The original Vacation is funny because a family road trip is funny all on its own.
And it's very well written.
You don't need to swim in poop and have a...
And make penis jokes every 45 seconds.
No, it's funny because it's real, right?
Right.
Before I forget, because I'll forget again.
And Chevy Chase is amazing.
Yeah.
So is Beverly D'Angelo.
I'll forget again if I don't say it. Speaking of the original Vacation, find yourself a documentary called Drunk, Stoned, Brilliant, Dead, The Story of the National Lampoon.
Oh, nice.
Which I just watched. I just got a screener in the mail for and watched that. That's very, very interesting. The National Lampoon story.
Yeah, send that over.
Yeah, I'll make sure you get that one. But yeah, that's an interesting history. And cool. We were just talking about it. A lot of it is about Doug Kenny,
who
we were talking about a couple episodes ago, who is the guy who maybe killed himself.
Yeah.
Who was one of the writers on Caddyshack.
Right.
I didn't realize National Lampoon was kind of guided by his vision of it.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
He was one of the guys.
That's interesting.
But really interesting. So I didn't realize how much Saturday Night Live was just, we're going to take what National Lampoon is doing and take most of their people.
Hmm. Right? Yeah, no, I knew that.
Harold Ramis.
I read a lot of that in some Saturday Night Live books.
Bill Murray, Harold Ramis, Chevy Chase, just Gilda Radner just picked them all up and started a similar thing. I didn't realize how close that was.
Yeah.
What point am I making? So in the Vacation reboot, they didn't get why the original worked.
Right.
And in Creed feels so much like the original Rocky.
They got it.
Yeah.
They got it. And they did a masterful job of modernizing it also.
Yeah.
I thought they brought a whole new flavor to the movie, but it was still Rocky.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Yeah. And you know, the obvious thing being that it's you know, can you say crossed racial lines in terms of the protagonist?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a story about black people.
Yeah, but it's not.
But you know what I mean.
But not a gimmick. Not
no
not
no
like,
no no.
Oh, here's the black version.
No,
it's as true to
the only white dude in the movie is Rocky.
It's as true to the experience of its characters
as
Rocky felt.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's awesome.
Yes.
It's awesome.
All right, that's the show.
Yeah.
This is great. No, we're going to tell you more.
Yeah, let's break down, Creed. Couple things. There's some great acting in it, but let's talk about our sponsors.
Yeah, because this, I'll let you know now, this is going to be a somewhat shorter episode.
Yeah, we want you guys to have fun on,
go be with your family.
Yeah.
And frankly, we recorded the Hunger Games episode 24 hours ago. So we've kind of said
Sean,
what we have to
say. You are breaking
say.
All kinds of rules.
I know. It was that or do an episode on The Good Dinosaur. I'm sure The Good Dinosaur is going to be good, but I'm glad we saw Creed. I'm glad we saw Creed.
Me too.
Yeah. But yes, we got sponsors. Flip the order. Because you're wearing
people.
Your Goods and Evil shirt right now.
I am. I'm wearing my favorite Goods and Evil shirt right now. It is my Camp Crystal Lake shirt. It is like a shirt that you would buy or get as a counselor at Camp Crystal Lake.
Mm-hmm.
Established 1935. On the back it says Camp Counselor.
Mm-hmm.
It is awesome.
Yes.
And I have tons of cool horror shirts and movie shirts from goodsandevil.com. I think they're incredible. You can see me do all kinds of videos on YouTube. I'm wearing a bunch of them because I love them so much. And they also have a line of vegan t-shirts. If you're not into meat, they have some really cool creative shirts for vegans. And Big Lebowski shirts, Evil Dead shirts, some horror shirts, and some just creepy designs as well. I love goodsandevil.com. Check them out. And, tell them Aaron said hello.
I was looking to show you a shirt. It's not a Goods and Evil shirt, but I remind because it's the kind of thing they do.
Yeah.
That I just bought my brother, past guest Andy Collier, for his birthday. Andy, if you're listening, and I haven't given you this present yet, skip ahead. I got him a Shining t-shirt.
Ooh.
That's a Jack Daniels logo,
ooh,
but it says Jack Torrance.
Ooh. Ooh, I like it.
And above and below, the year is the year in, from the photo at the end. 1912?
11.
1921.
1921.
And above and below that, it says all work, no play. And then at the bottom where it should say bourbon, it says white man's burden.
Wow.
Yes.
Cool.
I bought it for him because they didn't make my size. once it was not available for me.
I have done that. I have bought something for someone at like a store.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm going to buy this for them because this is so amazing and they only have a large.
Right. That's exactly what happened.
That's great.
That's not a Goods and Evil shirt, but that's the kind of stuff that Goods and Evil does.
Yeah, dude. I mean, some of my other favorite shirts are my Big Lebowski shirts and my Evil Dead shirts. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Goodsandevil.com.
And they've been, they were really our first sponsor of any kind.
Absolutely. If you like movies, you got to at least go check out goodsandevil.com. Mm-hmm. Trust me. And you're going to end up buying one.
And if you like life, you should go to puzzlepacks.com so you can go
life
take some beers around in style. But you know what? It's not just beers. You know what I like to do every now and then is I like to get weird sodas. You know, you go to like a Village Candy in Swickley and they have like regional sodas from all over the country. Like, you know how here we have that Red Ribbon soda from up in Natrona Heights.
Yeah.
At Village Candy, they have specialty sodas from all over the country.
Yeah.
And you can put those in your Puzzle Packs 6-pack carrier. You can get a Puzzle Packs 4-pack carrier and put in your wine.
40s.
If you walk into a party with a Puzzle Packs 4-pack carrier of
Old E
40s.
Bro, come on.
That's already a Halloween costume you don't have to explain.
It's awesome. And they make coasters.
The coasters with in the shape of the states.
I've given out gifts to some of my friends. My podcast, Grown Dad Business, I gave a 4-pack of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania coasters to Pittsburgh native Joe Bartnick, who's an awesome comedian, tours with Bill Burr, and he's blown away by them. He wants to talk to Puzzle Packs because he wants more.
Yeah.
And the coasters have, you know, as they do on the 6-pack holders, an emblazoned logo, and it's a cool logo, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, with the cityscape, and on the coasters has a bottle opener.
Mm-hmm.
And so do the 6-pack holders.
Independently owned, veteran owned.
Yeah.
American sustainable.
Made. Yeah.
Eco-friendly business.
Can't beat it.
Puzzlepacks.com. That's PUZZLEPAX.com. Use the offer code HANDLE. That's the middle word in You Can't Handle the Truth.
Yep.
And you'll get $5 off your order. If your order is $10, that's 50% off.
Yep.
So get yourself some cool stuff at puzzlepacks.com.
Perfect for Christmas.
And goodsandevil.com. Those are, don't go out on Black Friday. Just click twice.
Well, I mean, support independent businesses.
Exactly.
For sure.
Exactly. Don't send that money to Amazon or...
Yeah.
Because we don't have that Amazon sponsor thing.
No, nope, we could.
We could.
Amazon, holler at your boy.
No, they don't. That's the problem. They don't holler at anybody. They want us to put a banner on the side of the site so that when someone needs to buy the 6 Feet Under DVD, they click through our site.
I mean, you don't have to tell people the whole process of affiliate marketing.
Yeah, affiliate marketing. Just sponsor us.
What do you got going on over Thanksgiving, Sean?
Well, over Thanksgiving, I don't know. On Saturday after Thanksgiving, I will be in... what do you got going on?
I got a lot going on, actually. I'm home. I'm in Pittsburgh. If you're listening the Wednesday before Thanksgiving Eve, I am at the Arcade Comedy Theater.
That's tonight as this tonight. Episode comes out.
10 p.m. at Arcade Comedy Theater with my friend from Los Angeles, Vinny Fastline. He runs one of the hottest shows at the Hollywood Improv. He's a Pittsburgh native. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be joined by Blair Parker and Andy Picaro and Colin Chamberlain. Great show tonight.
Yes.
And then Friday, I'm doing the live podcast of Kill Tony with Tony Hinchcliffe and Brian Redban of the Joe Rogan podcast at 8 o'clock. And then 10 p.m., we're all doing stand-up, and I'm pretty sure they're sold out.
I think I would be surprised if they weren't.
By Wednesday before Thanksgiving? Yeah, they're sold out.
Tonight, Wednesday the 25th, I'll be in Scottsdale, Pennsylvania. Saturday the 28th in New Brighton, Pennsylvania. I will again mention what I mentioned last week. December 4th, Friday, December 4th at Arcade Comedy Theater, 10 p.m.
Yeah, go see Sean and his dad.
And my dad, Gene Collier.
Collier and Collier.
Two generations of smartass for one low, low price.
Close your eyes and you don't know who's talking.
And Molly Sherrow is opening the show up,
she's
up
great.
For us. As well, she's great, and I'll tell you right now, again, I perform around here. I'm working on it. When I'm somewhere else, I'll tell you, but for now, I'm around here. I'll tell you again, early warning, get your tickets now. I will be back at the Pittsburgh Improv December 17th through the 19th with Flip Orley.
Nice.
I'll be there with Flip Orley for five shows, 17th to the 19th.
Oh, I forgot, Thanksgiving weekend, Saturday, I'm at the Pittsburgh Playwrights Theater.
Yes.
Drinking Partners Comedy Show, Dave Bracey, Ed Bailey, Mike Sasson. I mean, this is a great place. It's actually comedy in the round.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first time I've ever performed in the round.
Yeah. Got to look all around.
This show's going to sell out if it's not sold out mm-hmm. already by Wednesday the 25th. So we got a lot of comedy. You can both follow us. You know, follow us on Twitter, Aaron Kleiber, Sean Collier, PGH, and, you know.
See what we're doing.
Truth Podcast on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And all that stuff. Just look us up, and you'll find us online.
And listen to Grown Dad Business while you're listening.
Yeah,
to
my
stuff.
Podcast, Grown Dad Business. I got a bunch of cool, you know. Yeah.
And go here. I'm going to plug it. Are you ready? Go to the Pittsburgh Comedy website.
Why?
Is it pghcomedy.com?
For what?
Is that the correct URL? Pghcomedy.com.
Yeah. What's on there?
You will see the recap of the 5th annual Pittsburgh Comedians football game.
Oh.
Which
James J. Hamilton is our unofficial press correspondent for Pittsburgh Comedy.
Does a great job.
It is one of my favorite things to read every year is when he writes this.
He recaps the worst football game played anywhere. If you get a bunch of 8-year-olds in a backyard, it will be a more athletic contest.
He tactfully writes a recap of a football game. But it's really a roast.
Yes.
It's spectacular.
And that said,
he's a great writer too.
When as you're hearing this, as we're recording this, the game has not happened yet. As you're hearing this, it already happened. And I'm very confident that we won.
Wow, dude.
Aaron and we were not on the same team last year. We are on the same team this year. And it's a packed lineup.
Sean, I'm not going to throw to you.
I wouldn't. I'm not saying that I'm going to help us win.
Thanks.
I'm saying I'm looking at the lineup, and I'm thinking, you know what? Of the no athletes that do comedy in Pittsburgh, we have all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's pretty good.
What are we talking about?
A real athlete, Apollo Creed.
Apollo Creed.
And his son, Adonis.
I was about to transition out of the last thing you plugged.
Oh, sorry.
You are at Pittsburgh Playwrights Theater.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh Playwrights Theater is one of 3 or 4 theater companies in the world who have staged every one of August Wilson's 10-play Pittsburgh cycle.
Wow.
This is a movie podcast. If you don't know...
No, this is a tie-in.
If you don't know August Wilson's stuff, buy yourself a theater ticket.
Right.
For Fences... Jitney, The Piano Lesson, these are masterpieces.
Right.
Go see them. Several roles in August Wilson's plays were originated by Felicia Rashad.
Yeah.
Most well known for The Cosby Show.
Mrs. Huxtable.
Who is also Adonis Creed's mother in this movie.
She plays Apollo Creed's wife.
That was my 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon back into
spectacular.
The subject. How about
so
that?
Let's talk about the acting in this. The supporting cast.
Yeah.
We talked about Michael B. Jordan. We talked about Sly Stallone. She's fantastic. She's not in it a lot, but she's good.
Yes.
She's really good.
Yeah, really believable. And what I like about that character is she had all of the... she was exactly who she needed to be.
Right.
And there wasn't one extra line of dialogue.
Right.
I feel like in a lot of movies, and especially in a lot of boxing movies, there would have been 4 more scenes of her explaining why she's nervous about her son becoming a boxer. We know. Her husband died in the ring. Of course she doesn't want him, but of course that, you know, she's going to come around. Sorry, spoiler, mom is on her son's side. Sorry to spoil that for you. But in a lot of movies, that would have taken 20 minutes. Here, a good actress sells it, and a good writer minimally explains it.
Yeah.
And it's perfect.
Yeah. And all the characters do a really good job at short and sweet scenes and just really performing the hell out of them, something that the writer wrote very well. Ryan Coogler wrote great dialogue and had great actors perform it, and she starts it off.
The ultimate opponent is I'm trying to.
Oh remember. Yeah, Pretty Ricky.
Yeah,
not the rapper.
Tony Ballou.
Yeah, Tony Ballou, Pretty Ricky Conlon.
Yes.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
Yeah, he's you know again, not overwritten.
Nope.
Just does what he's there to do. Yep. And really sells it.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the love interest. That was telegraphed a little bit.
Tessa Thompson.
Yeah, there's a scene where music is keeping him up downstairs, and he gets up to complain, and I leaned over to you and said, he's about to get a love interest, and there she was.
Bro, let me tell you something right now. I'm looking at her pictures on IMDb. She is gorgeous.
I can't believe...
Like, I am smitten. She's so pretty.
Yeah, I can't believe that she's not a household name.
Oh, she's so
she's beautiful.
Beautiful,
and she was really good.
She was really good.
She was in Dear White People. She was in Selma. She's done a lot
of TV. I remember her now.
She was on, I guess she was on Veronica Mars. But
that was her in Selma. I remember thinking how pretty she was in Selma.
Yeah.
Oh, Tessa, what up, girl? She's so pretty.
And she was great.
Yeah.
And you know, you could probably, you know, I had that reaction because when she showed up, I was thinking, does this movie need a love interest?
Right.
But it was just, again, it was just enough. And it echoed Rocky and Adrian so well.
Well, I kind of turned to you and I said, man, you know, she is written exactly like Adrian.
Yeah.
And it was interesting. I think I said to you in the theater, I think, she watched tape.
Yeah.
Italia Shire, right?
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Talia, right? Talia Shire, played Adrian.
Keep talking. I'll correct you if necessary. Talia Shire, correct.
Yeah, I felt like that she was watching tape. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like the way she talked to Adonis Creed.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, she is channeling mm-hmm. Talia Shire. Mm-hmm. Like almost, it was a great mirror of what was going on. I mean, it was kind of the rebirth mm-hmm. of that origin story of Rocky, the first Rocky.
I mean, there's not a lot, how do I say this without spoiling? This follows the story of the first Rocky movie and
sure.
adds a bit, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, this is not this is not an exercise in reinventing.
Right.
This is about the first time I've ever said, no, they rebooted it really well. I don't think I've ever said that sentence before.
Yeah.
But that's what happened here.
I know.
I haven't said that very often
either.
We're nerds now. We were blown away by the sound, the score, the music. Yeah, the sound design.
I picked up on this maybe because I'm a performer.
Yeah,
and I know you did too. When you're backstage, and you know I've done theaters. I'm you know as of. Today, this weekend, I'm performing in a couple theaters with mm-hmm. Jim Brewer, which would have been last week.
Yeah.
They were amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are great.
Right.
But there's this sound
mm-hmm.
that when you're backstage, you hear people sitting in their seats. They're getting excited for a show. And and I'm using this example. You know there's boxing matches in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not spoiling anything.
Right.
But, you know, and you know there's a big match in it.
Yeah.
I'm not spoiling. The sounds that they had backstage, it was like real-time sound. How, like, when you walk, like, you're in there, you hear people's footsteps. You hear people, like, whispering to each other. You mm-hmm. you know, you're, like, the sound of your robe.
Yeah.
Like, just, like, focused sound. And then you hear people outside, and then you leave the door and hit the hallway, and it gets louder. Then you start hearing the music thumping. And it's like, and then it's real-life sound. That's the only way I can describe it.
If the preview for this movie had been those 3 minutes, I would have been losing my mind.
You're right. That's a great call.
If it had just been Michael B. Jordan and the opponent whose name we just said, who
they should have did
Ricky,
that.
Just the 3 minutes of them going to the ring, I would have been counting days to this movie like it's goddamn Star Wars.
And I felt really connected to it just as a performer, and I know, I don't know that feeling, but I know. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the anticipation. Like I was living this with him.
Mm-hmm.
I was nervous,
mm-hmm.
and the sound was just spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I mentioned the music.
Mm-hmm.
Great. You know, modernization of some music. I mean, mm-hmm. Spoiler alert, he came out to Tupac. It was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And they also used one of my favorite Nas songs of all time. featuring Nas's dad.
I heard Kendrick was in there too, right?
Yeah. Great soundtrack, but then also the orchestrated stuff.
Really, really good.
They kind of updated and reused Billy Conti's original score from the first Rocky. Even I Love, which actually P. Diddy did it, but they take a Bill Conti orchestration and add a beat to it.
Right.
Which I am obsessed with.
Yeah.
I love orchestration and hip hop beat put together. I will melt.
I'm not spoiling anything to see that there's a triumphant training montage scene.
Sure.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Really, really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. What the hell happened? Where did this come from?
Dude.
Cinematography, great too. Especially in the ring.
Let's talk about that last.
Especially in the ring.
There was some really great shots that were continuous.
Yes.
With filmmaking now, we don't know if it was. But the cinematographer, Maris Alberti.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know who that is. She shot. Oh, check this out, bro. She shot The Wrestler.
Really?
She shot.
That makes a lot of sense.
She shot also The Visit. We're not going to talk about that. Sorry I even mentioned that.
I'm not going to hold that against her. I am a little bit.
Yeah, she shot a lot of stuff.
The Wrestler makes a lot of sense.
But yeah, she shot The Wrestler.
And I would say this feels a lot more like the movie feels a lot more like The Wrestler than say than I'm trying to think of a there was some bad Southpaw. It feels a lot more like The Wrestler than what you're thinking of in a recent boxing movie.
Right, right.
There's a shot towards the end that was a perfect, unbelievable bit of filmmaking that was. For various reasons, someone in the screening with us leapt out of her seat and screamed at the screen for a good 2 minutes.
Oh, I mean, they were really obsessed, super fans.
And we said, you know, we always say the screening crowds are boisterous, but you did have that thing in this one where people started cheering for Creed, where people just got into
cheering.
It like they're in the crowd.
Cheering.
And I get it. It makes perfect sense. You're obsessing over this cinematographer right now.
Well, she's done a lot of cool things. And actually, the documentary, one of my favorite sports documentaries, 1996, When We Were Kings.
Oh, really?
Do you know what that is?
Yeah.
It's about the heavyweight championship in Zaire between, Rumble in the Jungle.
Yeah.
She was one of the cinematographers in this documentary.
How about that?
So I think she loves boxing. I think she likes boxing a little bit. So what a cool choice.
Yeah.
The Wrestler and When We Were Kings.
Yeah.
Yeah, the camera work is great. Like I said, I don't know if it's continuous for sure, but I fell for it if it wasn't. And it was. I think I turned to you, and it's a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen many fight movies. It feels like that they made something up. Like you know what? Let's do this differently.
And you know what?
How
it
are
is?
Other fight movies shot? You especially know, with all the UFC movies been coming out and the boxing movies.
They found a new way to do it where a little bit it actually has this movement where it goes back and forward
as it spins.
Where it while spinning and it goes forward to almost first person.
Yeah,
almost close-ups. your Creed looking on.
Yeah,
and then it pulls back. It seemed like it pulled back. When he started to slip a little bit.
Yes.
When he would get hit, you're seeing him.
Sean, but when you are really a cinephile, because I think you're right.
When he started tuned focusing, in, you're right there with
up.
Him.
Yeah.
Huh.
Great cinematography.
Man, they did some good work.
This
you know the only full movie that actually is one continuous shot? You know about this?
Is it?
It's called.
Is it a Christopher Nolan movie?
No, it's called Russian Ark.
Oh, really?
It's a Russian movie that no traditional storyline. It's kind of like an impressionistic thing about Russian history.
Really?
So you you go through the whole scope of Russian history in about an hour and a half.
Really?
But it's in this giant.
That sounds
museum.
Fascinating.
It's in this giant museum in Moscow, and they built like a roller coaster track to take the camera in one shot, one take for like over an hour and a half. Cast of thousands, like with full orchestras and stuff, so nobody could screw up. And it's really boring and really slow, but it ends and you're like, well, yeah, that was just the one shot. It's worth seeing just to.
I don't know.
If you want to see how they did that, picture Birdman, but for real and not interesting.
All right.
Feel free to cut, filmmakers. Anyway, let's rate Creed.
Okay.
Damn.
This is tough.
I gotta go 9 just because I don't feel like I'm allowed to go 10, but I'm thinking about it.
I'm gonna completely agree with you.
The number
I'm gonna say 9 only because I feel like I've been tricked.
Right. No, I feel the same way. I feel like, am I talking about the movie I just watched?
I'll say 9 because you know what? I think of some 10s that are up there and it's not
that. Yes. Yes.
You know, but I'll say it's a 9. Okay with a 9.
And this gets this probably is getting a surprise bump. You know, where if we walked in expecting this to be amazing,
yeah,
maybe we wouldn't be so blown away
true,
by it.
True, that's true.
Right?
Yeah.
But
are we thinking any nominations for this movie?
I think that it's not going to get any, but I think it should be considered. I mean, if I'm writing tomorrow and I haven't thought about it too hard, definitely for those sound categories, I'm writing it down.
Yeah, I would say cinematography was pretty good.
Yeah, and you said it before I did, but only because I would have felt dumb saying it, but. In a slow year, I'd put Stallone up for supporting actor.
I would, too. I really... I mentioned that to you right after we got out.
This... I'll say this for it. I'm looking at my list right now, and I'm going to see more stuff. There's a lot I haven't seen. I haven't seen Spotlight yet. I haven't seen, you know, all kinds of stuff.
The Revenant,
The Hateful Eight. Today, yeah. Like, on my list today, it's in my top 10 for 2015.
Yeah.
I mean, the only tens I have are It Follows and Room. And I can look and say, okay, Mad Max is probably a little bit better than that. Sicario is probably a little bit better than that. Inside Out might be a hair better than that.
Yeah.
But for right now, you know, if I had to make my top 10 of the year today, Creed would be in it.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. Yeah. Wow, right?
Yeah.
I don't think people were expecting to hear this.
No, I was expecting to have to come up with something else to talk about after I said, it was all right for 10 minutes.
I know. Well, there you go.
Got to go see this. When you go out and whatever you're doing, if you're going to do your shopping this Thanksgiving weekend, if you're going to wait till Saturday night and the turkey runs out and just go out to dinner with your family and pair a movie with it, you know, was this a PG-13?
It was.
Yeah, I mean, don't take the young
there was
kids.
There was some real blood, boxing blood.
Right. And there's some real subject matter.
There's an F word, some swearing.
Yeah, but, you know, teenagers and grown-ups, this should definitely be your pick.
It's a good movie. Yeah.
Man.
Well, before we get out of here, happy Thanksgiving, Sean.
Happy Thanksgiving, Aaron.
And I want to give a shout-out one more time to Addie Twig, who made our theme song. She just came out with an album. It's called The Telephone Line. You can go...
The name of the band is The Telephone Line.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, the band is called The Telephone Line, and she's fantastic, an amazing vocalist. Mm-hmm. You can buy the album on iTunes if you'd like to support independent artists, or you can just listen to The Telephone Line on Spotify.
And if you want to, you know, if you like what we're doing, you know, we count support for her as support for us.
Absolutely.
So go on Spotify. The album's up on Spotify. Yeah. Listen to it. If you like it, maybe, you know, Nana gave you an iTunes gift card because she thinks that people still use those. use that for get that telephone line album.
Yeah, and big shout out to our producers at Epicast.
Yeah.
Buzzy and Nick.
Lots of good shows on.
Doing an awesome awesome job. Epicast.tv. Mm-hmm. There's lots of shows like The Drinking Partners, like Aaron Kleiber's Grown Dad Business.
That's a good one.
Yeah, there's a Professor Buzzkill.
Marta on the Move. We're going to have Marta on the show sometime soon.
Yeah, a lot of fun podcasts on the Epicast Network. Epicast.tv. If you want to be a sponsor, holler at your boy.
That's Ian Insect's catchphrase.
Holler at your boy?
Yeah, holler at your boy is Ian.
No, that's
Insect.
Like a lot of people's phrase.
But I mention it because Ian Insect is Evil is also on the Epicast Network. And if
he says that at the end?
If the Ian Insect ad was on this episode, then the listeners heard him saying holler at your boy several minutes ago.
I love Ian. Ian's so ridiculous. Ian Insect is Evil.
Yes.
A really zany podcast. Ian is hilarious.
I would tell you what the format is, but there is none.
Nope.
None at all.
Nope.
Has Sean seen it?
Has
on the
Sean
way out?
Seen it?
You haven't made this list yet.
You know what? I get one because I always waste them when we talk about movies before we
go. Okay, fine. You're up one already.
I'm up one.
Tell the people what it is. You forgot already?
Wait, I just went brain dead.
We watched the trailer. We watched the bad trailer for the reboot of the Keanu Reeves movie.
Oh, Point Break.
Yeah, that's a no.
Sean has never seen Point Break. Keanu Reeves, Patrick Swayze, The Sways.
Directed by Kathryn Bigelow of The Hurt Locker, the only female to win Best Director.
We'll see. It is a reboot.
No. The original Point Break is directed by Kathryn Bigelow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, not this one.
Oh, I thought
this one looks like garbage.
Oh, yeah, the original Point Break is a blast. Okay, has Sean seen it?
So I'm 0 for 1. Now you only got to come up with 2 to get dinner.
Have you seen Rambo First Blood?
No.
Yeah!
You're at 2.
Whoa.
You're at 2.
Whoa.
You're thinking Stallone?
Whoa. Have you seen, I'm going to try to stump him with Stallone.
Oh, then you're going to.
Yes! Have you seen Tango and Cash?
No.
Yeah, I won. Oh, I won.
Finally.
Tango and Cash.
I don't think I'm ever going to get 3
Dude,
for 3.
Sylvester Stallone and Kurt Russell.
Oh, now you know, I want to see it.
Dude.
I have to watch First Blood too. I know
great
that.
Movie. Oh, Rambo First Blood is good movie, dude.
All right.
Good movie.
I'm going to come over with takeout. Like nice takeout, not like Subway. Because now I owe you dinner and we'll watch for.
How long have we been doing that?
We've probably done it 12, 15 times.
Shoot.
Yeah.
Well, guys, see ya.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks for listening to You Can't Handle the Truth. Find your hosts on Twitter at Sean Collier, PGH, and at Aaron Kleiber. That's Kleiber, Kleiber. And follow us at Epicast TV. Head to www.epicast.tv for more great podcasts on the Epicast Network. You can email feedback to handlethetruthpodcast@gmail.com. Epicast.